The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Bill Nye, the science guy here. Whenever I am listening to the radio, especially Tech Talk Radio, it's just such a party.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
And for those of you who don't know, we are the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet. And one of the big things that we like to talk about from time to time is crypto. You're talking about Bitcoin and Ethereum, and people are like, it's becoming more and more mainstream. A couple years ago, this was just like a hobby. Things people were like, oh, crypto, yeah, it's nothing. You're just gonna lose your money and blah blah blah. But then as time goes on, it's becoming more and more adopted. Even last night, during the college football national championship and other championship games that they've had prior to that, they have had commercials for crypto.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Matt Damon one where he's talking about fortune favors the brave, crypto.com. Or they had during the World Series, they had the umpires wearing FTX logos on their uniforms.
The whole stadium in Los Angeles has been renamed. It's now the crypto.com arena. And
yep.
I don't know if you heard about this. There was a recent study done with B&B, people who use, Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they were talking about that they would like to see as a part of upcoming, the future of Airbnb is for them to accept cryptocurrency for payment for, room and the whole bit.
It's just a matter of time away. But now, if you've ever listened to our show, and I'm sure a lot of you who are listening now have listened to past shows, you recall that we did interview many different times a member of the crypto community, one of the biggest members of the crypto community. He is the founder and head admin of Crypto Coin Trader, a Facebook group, Joe Blackburn. And we're going to welcome Joe back to the show. Joe, how's it going?
What's up, guys? Glad to be back home.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah.
No, it's been about a year or so, but I think I get a yearly appearance on Talk Radio, so I'm glad it's that time of the year again.
Basically, we bring you on when everything is starting to go a little crazy with the crypto sphere, right? And that's exactly what we want to talk about. Rewind a couple weeks ago, we kind of started, and when I say we, people that are involved in the crypto community, it kind of looked like it was going to be a bear market, and things are starting to go down. Bitcoin crashed a little bit there, and well, actually not a little bit, a lot.
Yeah.
It went from 50, 52, 53 down to 40. I think it hit 39,000 for a little short while, and then it kind of found some resistance there. But what is your take? What's going on with the crypto market now? Are we going into a bear market, or is this kind of just a correction?
I mean, so the age old question, right? I mean, what's the price of Bitcoin going to be? It's hard to put into words at times how normal the volatility in this space usually is for people. Mm-hmm. And if you've been in crypto, and I know everybody here has at least been around it to the extent that they've experienced a true bear winter market. It's more of a, are we fearful more than is there the evidence for a bear market yet, right?
Okay.
So Bitcoin goes up, Bitcoin goes down. It has since the very beginning of Bitcoin's existence in 2009. And the one thing I can say is I can't predict the future, but we look like we're on a pretty clear path to continue to go up. It's just, when do we finish going down before that next up happens, right? So are we in a bear market? No, technically we are definitely not in a bear market. We lose 37,000 and we don't recover relatively quickly. I have bigger concerns, but let's not forget, guys, we've already been lower than this year, both on the way up and on the way down. Seen this. So one of the moderators in Crypto Coin Trader on Facebook, Tim Pace, I don't know if you guys are.
Oh, yeah, I'm friends with him.
Yeah, Tim is an incredible human. And his story as far as being just a holder to turning into a trader and doing it publicly, it's for another show.
But I actually signed up for his Heisenberg BTC trading.
Awesome. And he knows what it's like to be a true beginner. And that's why I love his perspective. But he actually posted on January 1st or January 2nd. How excited we were when Bitcoin crossed over $40,000 on January 1st or 2nd, 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flash forward a year later, we were at $40,000 again. And how different that $40,000 feels compared to just literally 1 year ago, right?
Yeah.
So, it's perspective. It's when you entered. And don't forget, 97-98% of all Bitcoin's existence has been spent lower than the current price it is right now. I mean, are we really down, or did we just have a nice spike and finding that true home for the time being?
You know, I think it's important that, you know, our listeners maybe have never, ever, they've heard the terms. They have no idea what this is all about. They hear mining and they, you know, they might think of the old days of somebody mining ore and stuff like that. They maybe have no idea. Can you kind of give us a little, what is cryptocurrency?
It's not really easy to explain Bitcoin to somebody who has never dabbled in the space. It's more accustomed to, I would want somebody to think of Bitcoin, not necessarily like the US dollar or like an actual currency. I would almost want them to think of it as what I used to consider real estate. Now with the metaverse, it confuses people even more. But if you think of real estate, what you have is a hard asset that typically has appreciated over time, just in general, as a finite amount, only so much on the earth that they're not making anymore. I mean, I don't want to get into the Dubai islands they created. That doesn't count. But, you know, on a generic level here, Bitcoin is like a piece of real estate that costs money to produce. And people want to pretend like it doesn't cost any. Oh, it's just being made out of thin air. But to your point with mining is essentially, and this is again, I wouldn't explain this to somebody who who's had a lot of experience. So if you're listening and you know exactly what Bitcoin is, trust me, I do too. I promise you.
Yes.
Right. For the purpose of just explaining it to somebody, how you create a Bitcoin is essentially there's a bunch of computers around the world and they're interconnected by a ledger. The ledger is copied on every single one of these computers when you download the blockchain. Every computer that's mining literally has a copy of every single transaction that's ever happened on Bitcoin's blockchain. While this is in existence, the way that new Bitcoins are minted is all these computers are essentially solving a math problem that gets increasingly harder every single hour. So every hour, 12 Bitcoin or 11 Bitcoin are created. And in that hour, and while they're fighting to get this math problem solved, the winners receive a portion of the block, which is the Bitcoins. And that reward is worth a lot of money, obviously. But it costs collectively, when you think about all the computers hashing out tremendous amounts of power.
A lot of electricity.
It costs a lot of electricity. And it's very expensive to create one Bitcoin. It is not created out of thin air. It is powered by the electrical grid, and therefore there is a cost associated with it. You may not completely understand that when you hear it, but at least give it a chance before you just judge it or you don't. I mean, it doesn't matter. Bitcoin has no CEO, they have no employee, and they have no customer. And this is why it's such an alien concept for so many folks to just wrap their mind around. And it prevents so many people from at least dabbling in it, right? You can go to Coinbase, purchase it like you would, you know, sending a PayPal transaction these days. Coinbase has made it as simple as possible just to get involved. Yeah. There's some complications to some people, some confusion when they're going to send it, whatever. Of course, you know, you're going to have to spend some time researching, and I would recommend anybody research Bitcoin. But to answer your question, hopefully, Andy, you get relatively, is that fair? Did I leave anything out?
Yeah, no, I think the people hear that and they just don't understand it, how it works. And like this, like you just nailed it. People think it just comes out of the thin air, and it doesn't.
Correct.
There is a lot of work that it's been involved. And you're mentioning, you know, Coinbase as an exchange, you know, just they were doing something big over the holidays where you could actually, for those that did dabble in it, you could gift it to somebody,
sure.
Gift them some crypto, which was kind of a great idea as a way to see people coming into it and saying, yeah, I want to try this.
I actually did that recently. Not gifting, but during the holidays, you know, there's a brewery that I normally go to after work, and I have a beer, and the bartender, I got him into crypto, and I actually sent you a message about him, Joe. I was like, hey, he wants to get into crypto coin trader. What I've been doing is basically I tip him in Bitcoin.
Cool.
And so now in a minimum Bitcoin transaction on Coinbase is roughly $7 to $8. So what I'll usually do is tip him at the beginning of the week, and I'll give him $10 or something like that.
Sure.
And then that's his tip for the whole week. But because of what I did and just simply sending him $10 every week over the last few weeks, he just told me that he actually dumped $1,000 just a couple days ago into Bitcoin and put it on Coinbase Pro. and he's learning how to do the trading. He's learning how to do stop losses.
God bless him.
And he's never traded in his life.
I love that concept. You know, I even, and you probably remember this, guys, from if you saw one of my posts, like for Christmas, you know, tell somebody, buy somebody, give somebody $5 with Bitcoin, right? Just just contribute to the ecosystem by educating. And the best way to educate somebody is, how do I get this out, right? Like what? And then when they see it's real money, it becomes more real to them, right?
Yeah.
And when I say it becomes real money, it's when you cash it out and you trade that to Coinbase with them for USD.
I do follow Crypto Coin Trader on a daily basis. I'm always checking the posts. I'm seeing what people say. And there are definitely people in the Crypto Coin Trader Facebook group who are bears. And for one, it'd be one of the most vocal people out there, O'Neill. And O'Neill's a great guy, but he's Mr. Bear Moon. He for some reason, he hates Bitcoin. And I asked him about that on a post. I asked him, like, why do you want to see Bitcoin fail? And he's like, well, first off, I don't want to see crypto fail. I want to see Bitcoin fail because Bitcoin is old, it's slow, and there's so many new projects out there that are better than Bitcoin. So I would like you, if you could, to just kind of speak on that maybe just a little bit and kind of dissect what he was trying to say there.
I consider not only... do I consider O'Neill a good friend? I truly appreciate him more than anybody will ever know. And I don't want to blast him out here and pretend like everything he does is fake or anything, but O'Neill knows how to get engagement. And let's not forget that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And O'Neill wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Bitcoin. And let's not forget that. Cause I promise you O'Neill hasn't.
Yeah.
Even if he wants to spread his unjoyful spirit about Bitcoin occasionally, from time to time, but he's gotten a little bit better, and he has been wrong so many times that
his I love to prove him wrong.
His humbleness. And I'll never forget one of my favorite posts to ever happen in CCT. And this is like, I mean, just genuinely the greatest moment, I think, of all the years of CCT, going on almost five now. It was when Asher Vass created a chart with all of the dates and the actual posts that O'Neill had made leading up to. And it was literally starting at $6,000 all the way up from, I mean, like without missing a beat, he was wrong like 12, 13 times in a row about Bitcoin was too high. It's going down. You guys are all done. Bitcoin's going to zero, crash, you know. And then, you know, he admits a defeat one day when we crossed over the 200 MA, and it was just like, you know what, I'll be back, you know. And
so, I'll be back.
And while I knew he would be right at some point, as soon as he started being right, he was celebrated by all the people who wanted Bitcoin to come back down. And it was as if those 12 or 13 predictions had never existed. It was really funny. But that post, it's one of the most fun moments of my life is watching O'Neill melt down over that. O'Neill has this concept that really it's more so that Bitcoin is too high. That's really the way he sees it. He thinks that Bitcoin should have settled in that $6,000 to $8,000 zone, and that it makes it really unusable. And I mean, he's got some really well thought out opinions. It's not that he's ever hated or thought Bitcoin really doesn't have a place in this. It's that he does tend to believe that Bitcoin's existence is better in that stable $6,000 to $8,000 range. Well, guess what, O'Neill? Too bad. It ain't.
Yeah.
Those days are not just over. They're never coming back. I mean, if we did see that, I would be buying. I would literally sell everything I had, or there would be even a bigger catastrophic event that we wouldn't even worry about Bitcoin or cash. His role, though, I'm what they call a permabull. If you look at the chart from its existence, yes, it has gone up and it has come down. People have crashed and burned buying this. But really, if you haven't sold it ever in the history of Bitcoin, you've only been wrong 3% of the entire time if you bought it every single day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even less than that, honestly, because we're still in this 42. I mean, we were trying 43 earlier today. That's a lot of money when you consider the first time we chatted, gentlemen. We were so excited because Bitcoin had gone up to $6,000 or $7,000 for the very first time. If you had bought Bitcoin at $8,000 then, and then it crashed to six or crashed to three, are you mad today?
Yeah.
If you sold it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, this perspective, and I appreciate his role as in, hey, let's have a different perspective. Let's make sure that people are aware that this may not only go up. If you're got to pay your rent money with what you're buying crypto with, you're already doing the wrong thing.
Don't spend or don't invest more than you can afford to lose because it is so volatile.
Yeah.
Also, you have to think about too. So there's Bitcoin, which was the original, the OG, right? And then now you've got a bunch of new projects, or some of them are still actually kind of old now, but a bunch of other projects that are utilizing the same idea behind Bitcoin. Like, for instance, one of the bigger other players is Ethereum. You've got Cardano, you've got other projects, and they're all kind of doing their own thing, but they're still all utilizing the blockchain. So some people compare, and Joe, let me ask you this. This is a fair assessment.
Sure.
Some people consider Bitcoin to be the digital equivalent of gold. It's a store of wealth. It's not necessarily supposed to be used for everyday transactions. Like, for instance, you can't walk into a Starbucks with a block of gold and shave off a few pieces of gold for your latte. Yep. They're not going to accept it. So Bitcoin is not necessarily supposed to be that way, but it is still it's a form of gold, a digital gold. Is that right?
Yes. And that's a common analogy I typically use. I've switched to real estate and that's what I said earlier for other reasons, but putting that aside real quick, the gold is the simplest analogy in that sense. It is a store of value, and that is how Bitcoin should be viewed on an easy scale, right? But I'll make this really easy. Consider Bitcoin, like think of the crypto world as its own world in the middle of space, and it's got its own little universe. We call it the cryptoverse, right? And on this planet, it is ruled by King Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the ruler of this world. And inside this world, you have cities that fall under Bitcoin's reign. One of those cities would be Ethereum. Ethereum is a hustle and bustling city. It's got tremendous amounts of transactions.
It costs a lot to live there, though.
Doesn't it? And think about this, too. So as Ethereum has become more and more popular, the problems of Ethereum have led to other blockchains popping up, solving these issues. One of those is like a layer two solution like Polygon Matic, right? Polygon is the name of the project. Matic is the name of the token, the Matic network. Matic is kind of like a suburb maybe of Manhattan, right? Whereas it's allowed you to live this life of New York City, Manhattan, yet you're kind of on the outside, kind of circumventing a lot of the costs and the aggravations. Exactly, right? So you have this Brooklyn attached to Manhattan that allows you to enjoy this Manhattan's lifestyle, even work in Manhattan and commuting back and forth. And that's what Polygon Matic allows as a layer two solution. It cuts down all the gas. You can literally they've solved the issue where you can take your tokens, you can swap them over to the Matic network instantly with no cost. And then the Matic network, you can transact for little to nothing, maybe a penny or two per transaction. And then when you're all done, you just move back over the ERC-20 network and it costs you a little bit to get there, kind of like a bus fare. And then you're back in it.
Speak of that. Now, this might be getting a little technical, but I really honestly personally want to know this. Why are gas fees so high for Ethereum?
Gas fees are in the works. So there was a recent update to Ethereum that started taking place in around September, I believe. And it was the London hard fork was the name of it. And it's got some technical terms. I'm not even going to pretend like I remember everything, but essentially that Ethereum is going from proof of work, which is currently the mining system in which Bitcoin utilizes, because Ethereum's transactions are so much more significant than Bitcoin and the way that it was literally created to be. Nobody could envision today, honest to God. I mean, when you were Vitalik Buterin, who's the founder of Ethereum, along with many other brilliant, brilliant individuals, they're sitting around solving the one problem that Bitcoin didn't really address at the time. And that was, well, more than one problem. But the biggest issue with Bitcoin is that to really make the most of this Bitcoin economy that could exist, you need to be able to do what we would consider smart contracts today. And that's what Ethereum was built to do and enabled and created this whole ecosystem that we see today. It's not because of only Bitcoin, it's because of Ethereum that we're actually able to do this. But in that process, Ethereum had become so significantly congested on top of the fact that it has outperformed Bitcoin at a rate that nobody really probably expected. I mean, I remember back in the day when Ethereum was $6 and people were like, it's too high. Think about this too. So you got all these people. I want to bring up a really, really interesting fact here that most people don't even realize, but I don't know if it was the whole year last year, or if it was quarter three, maybe. But I'm pretty sure this is a pretty consistent, I don't know if, again, I just don't quote me on the exact time frame, but whether it was quarter three or whether it was all of 2021 to that point, Ethereum had settled more transactions than PayPal.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Not even a joke. And it's unfortunately, it's a statistic that has just not been a big deal, I guess, to the public. I don't know if PayPal has just suppressed everything that's happened with it. But think about that. How often is PayPal used? Where you're talking about eBay, you're talking about Amazon, you're talking about random purchases on some, mm-hmm. you know, Facebook ad that showed up. PayPal, on top of the fact that you can send, I mean, I know Venmo's kind of stepped in as the personal, you know, transaction app for people to people money, but PayPal does a significant amount of business. And to say that Ethereum has surpassed them, not just surpassed them, four times the amount of transactions.
Oh my gosh.
So it begins to bring a perspective to how real and how sincere this is. Also, think about this. All these altcoins that exist on ERC-20, it's not just Ethereum going back and forth. It's every single one of these altcoins that are ERC-20. I mean, there's not a single blockchain on planet Earth that even sniffs the amount of projects being built on them. Because of Layer 2 solutions, it allows this to still continue. But it's just the congestion and the overuse and the skyrocketing price of Ethereum that, you know, a 0.01 back in the day of Ethereum was, you know, $6, $4, $2. Now we're talking about 0.01 being, you know, I wish it was 0.01, by the way. It's more like 120 bucks, you know, so you're talking about. At times it can get very expensive, you know, so Ethereum and its gas issues, they have a solution for this, and we'll see it over the course of starting this summer, when apparently that may have been delayed as a little bit too, but proof of work changes to proof of stake, which you're rewarded and you mine by just holding the Ethereum.
There's a lot of people out there that work in the financial industry. For example, there was a glitch that happened and suddenly I was a multimillionaire, and it was a lot of fun to see. And I screen capped it because I was like, I got to remember this for the rest of my life, how it felt for that
absolutely.
5 seconds when I realized, no, this has got to be a glitch. However, you know, a friend of mine works for one of the big financial agencies that works with 401s and all that, which is, you know, with smart finance. And I remember telling her about it, kind of laughing, you know, oh, this is funny. And right away, her stance was, that's why I tell people never to invest in crypto, to do it. Because she said the reason that she does that is because for the same reason she believes that crypto could crash one day and take all of our money. How does the crypto community respond to somebody that works in that industry saying, you know, it's not a smart thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And unfortunately, this misinformation at times that's out there, and this is really not of her fault, because first off, she's not interested in it. And secondly, she's just hearing what other people are talking about, right?
Yeah.
So she hears this story and she hears you say, hey, I was a multimillionaire for a minute. And you laugh about it knowing, hey, it's a glitch. But what she's failing to understand in this concept is that this is just the information from a third party who tracks the prices, who had a glitch where everything was multiplied by like 1,000, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was literally just, it had nothing to do with your factual amount.
No.
It just showed up in what you track your money with, right? So this was an almost every single coin that used a outside third party site to actually show them, because Coinbase has a lot of coins listed that you can see the price of that you cannot purchase.
Right.
And they do that just for convenience and to keep people on their app, but they don't get that information from their own site because they're not trading it. They're getting it from other places. So a lot of times, even other prices that they have, just for simplicity purposes, will come from there. Now, guess what? The one place that cannot glitch and steal your money is the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
You are the only person that has access to that money. And if anything, it shouldn't scare you that somebody could glitch and steal your money. You should be scared that you might forget how to access your money. Here's a little tip. I expect the future projects that make the next big move. Right now, I'm really big on gaming and metaverse tokens, and we can get into that if you want to. But I think the next big phase of this is going to be custody tokens. Have your own tokens in your own wallet, and it's a very unique form, the way that it's supposed to, yet still be, if you lose your password, how do I access this? This has to happen.
When we come back, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to keep Joe on, because Joe, I want to ask you two questions. Sure. One, I want to ask you about NFTs, because that is the new hot thing that people are talking about, and I don't know anything about it. And two, I want to put you on the spot and list off a couple projects and get your honest opinion on it.
Deal.
All right. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio and share the show with a friend. Maybe even leave a review on Apple. We'd love that.
And now back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Now, we've been talking with Joe Blackburn of Crypto Coin Trader Facebook group. Joe, we were talking about Bitcoin, a little bit of Ethereum, talking about blockchain. There's one other thing that has recently come onto the scene, and it's kind of taken the internet by storm, but not a lot of people know about it, including myself. I just don't understand it, and that is the new thing called NFT, non-fungible token. And it came out originally with like these weird artwork where you could buy a piece of art, which was like a comic monkey, whatever. And you owned this comic monkey. Can you explain a little bit about what NFT is and where it might be going in the future? What can it be used for?
Yeah. So just the specific NFT that you're referencing, the Bored Ape Yacht Club series, along with which was considered one of the OGs, the original, true original OG NFT was CryptoPunks. You'll see people flashing these around, and they got them as their profile pictures. First off, crypto is the shining example of what they call the Lamb Bros, right? And that is the people who made a lot of money, really immature, new money to an extent at times. And they've got a lot of money and they spend it, right? Now, that's a very generic and probably I'll probably get hated on for that statement because I wish I had one. I do not have any of these. Yeah. And if I did have one, it would be my profile picture. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
But it's more of a sign of look what I've got and look how cool it is that I've got it. And
is it a way of like buying art? I mean, like you go like rich people buy art.
Exactly.
And they go like, oh, look, I got a Picasso on my wall. Okay.
It's a mixture of buying a Picasso and a Mike Trout rookie card or a LeBron James rookie card, right? It's it's in between. I mean, there's no purpose or no reason why a Michael Jordan 1986 Fleer rookie card is worth, you know, and a PSA 10 worth, I don't know what they go for, 30,000 maybe, and maybe less, maybe more, but they do. People want it. Its value is based off of desirability. And the majority of what you're seeing now is just desirability and collectors, right?
But here's the thing.
But there's a very big change coming in NFTs coming soon. I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the thing about NFTs is it's like a digital picture. Like what keeps me from just copy and pasting or saving the picture? You know, right click on the picture and say save as. Boom. Now I own the CryptoPunk, right?
So yes, you could do that. It would be immediately recognized that if you put up a $30,000 to $100,000 to $1 million CryptoPunk or a Bored Ape Yacht Club, people are going to be like, well, where did you get that? Guess what? If you own it, there's only one and it's on the blockchain and you can prove it, right? So more than likely, you will get called out instantly and you'll be a laughingstock.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of wonder, will Getty Images get into protecting NFTs at some point?
They don't need it because it's on the blockchain. There's only one and you can prove it.
Okay, all right.
And if someone were to use it against you, you can prove ownership. So you just would literally go there and go to the local police station. Hey, this guy's he's stealing my intellectual property. If somebody were to be upset about that, you could prove your ownership by having it on the blockchain. And just like a Bitcoin, if you lost a Bitcoin, you probably didn't lose it. You either gave your private key away or you forgot your private key to some extent and you're not able to access it anymore. It's one of the two.
Mm. Let's face it, there's a lot of artists out there. Musical or even print or painting, sculpture that are actually making some money to support what they do through NFTs. So it's not that bad a deal.
What was the change you're talking about?
I anticipate that all art will be not only physical, but you'll have a blockchain certificate of authenticity, excuse me, that will go along with it. That way you completely eliminate the idea of fakes. I mean, you mint them. And it's just those. There's no, you cannot add to it and you cannot take away from it. All of them exist. If you lose it or if you lose access to it, that's another issue. NFTs, as much as we're talking about this, because this is what everybody's saying. I know Eminem just bought a Bored Ape Yacht Club and I think he paid $500,000 for it.
Yeah.
There's several instances of this, but NFTs are not just art. NFT stands for non-fungible token. And this is the future of what I consider every ownership transfer in the future. Just think about this. You know, every time if you buy a house, you get a title, right?
Or a car.
Why is that exactly? Why is that even a piece of paper anymore? I mean, we have blockchain ability. You have access to it. If you lose this, it can be nulled and voided through a smart contract if you have a good developer who builds the right thing without, you know, holes in it. And that's why you audit it. Someone sent me a screenshot of a conversation that happened on Facebook. Someone was asking what an NFT, what is an NFT? They asked, and this guy responded back, hey, imagine you're married. You got this wife and she's, you know, run off and she's taken all your money, but you have this marriage certificate. That's the NFT. Right. And so that just,
okay. So this is what I wanted to know. This is where the real world use cases for it.
It's the title. It's the certificate of authenticity.
Okay.
And that sits in the blockchain, correct?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's on the blockchain.
Nobody can alter it. Nobody can alter it.
It can never be altered. Correct. Okay. And this is a concept. Let's just imagine, like, it's truly, it's a one of a kind. And it, once it happens, or it doesn't necessarily have to be one of a kind, it could be 100, right? But you have one of them and you can see on the blockchain through the smart contract when it was created, this is exactly how many there were. There can never be any additions or subtractions from it without it already being written in the code.
And when you look at how much money OpenSea has made just last year.
That's an NFT exchange. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing how much money they've been able to, you know, collate and work to for these transactions.
So let me ask you this, though. What as an example, my marriage certificate is a piece of paper.
Yep.
I could find somebody good enough to alter it to say that I'm married to Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yep.
But on the blockchain, on the NFT, it cannot be edited. It cannot be altered. So I will never be married to Jennifer Aniston on the blockchain.
You're really going to hurt her feelings, you know.
I know. I know. I'm sorry, Jennifer. I
don't blame you, for the record. And, you know, I'll pretend in the background for you.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and keep in mind, there's solutions to what if you got divorced. I mean, there's all these things exist. Like, I mean, if it doesn't exist yet, it can be created and built into the smart contract. There are ways in, there's ways out of anything that you, as long as you anticipate that this is a possibility and you write it into the code, right? So there's so much to be said about smart contracts, but I don't want to confuse or be long-winded in this statement. But the last thing I'll say about it is, it's not just going to be your marriage certificate. It's going to be, you know, I mean, look, say what you want, believe it if you don't, but the metaverse is coming. And you know how I know? Because Facebook changed their name to Meta. Yeah. And there's decentralized concepts that are trying to do and are building similar things, but Facebook has a head start on everybody. You know why? Because they got what, how many billions of users now?
Yeah.
2 billion users, 2 billion accounts at least. So let's just say that, you know, half a billion people are using Facebook literally every day. Maybe it's a little bit less. I don't know. But I would venture to say that that most of America, most of Europe, most of, you know, the Western world has Facebook to some capacity and they're regularly using it. Yeah. With that being said, how did COVID affect everybody this year? Right. Everybody's working from home. Everybody's doing things from the house. Mm-hmm. Everybody's staying back. I mean, it's the perfect transition into this concept of why do you even have to go to work? Just enter the metaverse, put on your Oculus, show up to work by getting out of bed. Literally, you don't even have to brush your teeth if you don't want. There you go. Justin putting on his Oculus as we speak. And all of a sudden you look around. Look, now Sean's doing it. And, you know, next thing you're all in the same room doing your board meeting. You never had to leave the house. And you're literally in front of everybody.
Yeah.
So inside the metaverse is going to exist ownership of different things, and you can create things, one of a kind things, and these are NFTs. Now, this may not sound like a big deal right now, but I'll tell you, why do people spend extra money to build a nicer house than somebody else? Because they want to look nicer than somebody else. Mm-hmm. This is just a human trait for some reason. I've never personally been in competition with anybody, but you could probably find a reason for me to want to look cooler than the Georgia Bulldogs, for example, who just won that championship.
COVID Natty. Yeah, I knew you were going to throw that in there somehow.
No, but you know, anybody's susceptible to wanting to spruce up, look nice, you know, put something on. Maybe you wear a jacket, one of a kind, and you got something special that made by an artist. One of a kind.
A lot of people have been comparing this whole NFT and even, you know, crypto in general. They've been comparing it to the dot-com boom and bust, really. And that's where a lot of people are scared because they're like, wait, hold up, I've seen this before. No, they're scared because they see, well, we had this dot-com boom, And then everything went to crap. And then, yes, granted, it eventually came back bigger than ever. So,
not just bigger than ever, bigger than anybody could have ever imagined.
Sure, sure. Yes, you're right. I agree with that. But I think they're saying like, oh,
so
they're
who
comparing
lost?
To
who
the
lost the dot-com boom? Who lost?
The people that were afraid of it.
Well, no, really, the speculators that were, I mean, like, it's, I mean,
that's
yes.
a good point.
Well, you could make an argument, too, that the people who missed out, who didn't step in, scare money, don't make money, they missed out on chances. But, I mean, look, the dot-com boom was the greatest thing that ever happened to the world, really. The mm-hmm. information age began because of this. And, yes, there are risks when you're taking risks to get rich. It's hard, and it's not supposed to be easy.
Well, like
and
Matt Damon said, fortune favors the bold.
Absolutely. And that's a crypto commercial for everybody.
Yeah.
That Justin obviously is very fond of because I and by the way, I'm a
this
huge
is Matt
fan.
Damon. I'm just a fan of Matt Damon.
I'm a huge
that's
fan
all.
Of Matt Damon too. I was gonna say, like, I mean, and he looks good. He looks like he's still, you know, 28 years old just about. Yeah. So I mean,
well,
you guys kind of look
surgery.
Like, you know.
Now but, for anybody listening, Joe, and we tell him, hey, check out the Facebook page, the group, to find out more, because there are people that are very helpful on it that will tell you, okay, you want to do this, you want to do that. But for somebody that is listening, and we have to say this, our lawyers will tell us we're not financial advisors. Anything we're talking about here, you know, it's at your own risk. However, for somebody that says,
and I repeat that I am not a financial advisor, and I never will be. Do not take anything I'm about to say as any factual evidence. You should always do your own research. Period.
Exactly.
I'm literally just giving my own opinion, and it's only in entertainment.
But if they want to get into something like this, is Coinbase probably the easiest way to get in, or are there other ways that sure. somebody could look at this?
So when you go to Coinbase, although they have an option for you to have a traditional Bitcoin wallet where you own your own private keys, or Ethereum wallet where you can put all your Ethereum in there, their mainstream method of purchasing is literally a custodial wallet that they insure, and that they're a public company now, right? So Coinbase to me is the easiest way to enter in for the first time. It is not the cheapest. Their fees can be very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Sean, I know, you know, you're back there, you know, showing the Coinbase that you're buying, you know, each week you put so much in, and, you know, I mean, you're paying as much and probably in fees every time you do that. Cause I mean, I think Coinbase fee is 99 cents. So, you know, I mean, like per dollar, you still got to pay. If you only put $1 in, you're paying a dollar just in a fee. So the more you buy, the less of a burden is the fee's going to be, but there are cheaper options, but that's for another conversation. If you're a beginner, Coinbase, just go check it out. Just read through it. They give you actually free crypto just for listening to these quizzes. You can't even get the questions wrong, because if you click the wrong one, they're like, sorry, not the right answer. Try again. And you just click through. Yeah. You don't even have to pay attention. You can probably end up with 40 or 50 bucks in free crypto today.
Joe, we got to take a quick break. Can you hang on with us for a bit?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
And we are back with Tech Talk Radio. And we just want to remind all of our listeners what we are talking about: cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. You hear all these terms all the time. We're not telling you that this is what you need to do or what you should do. We just want to give you the information to hopefully maybe help you out to learn a little more about what this digital currency is. Now, we want to remind you, too, you can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. You could subscribe to our shows via Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, just about anywhere you can get your podcasts. And we'd love it if you tell a friend, or if you visit us on our Apple Podcast, please leave us a review. And we are talking with Joe Blackburn of Crypto Coin Trader. You can find the group available on Facebook.
Now, before you go, Joe, I did want to say, I wanted to put you on the spot, and I do want to touch on what you just said a little bit ago, that this is, you are not a financial advisor.
Absolutely.
This is your own opinion, and this is just for entertainment purposes only. But I'm going to give you five projects that are currently listed on coinmarketcap.com,
okay.
And I just simply want you to say thumbs up or thumbs down.
Mm.
Okay?
Well, I don't want to just give a thumbs up or thumbs down. There's some context, because I probably, or if I do own it, or if I don't own it, that's there's reasons. And anyways, go ahead. I'll do my all best right. to keep it as short as possible,
go.
But at least give
okay.
me a sentence.
Okay. I'll give you a sentence. All right.
Okay.
First off, Cardano.
Cardano at 10 cents was the greatest buy for most people, and it only made sense that it was going to be a perfect storm for them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
They still need to accomplish some very complicated goals to explain, but assuming that they do accomplish those things, it's a big thumbs up. Without okay. that, which they have not proven to have been able to really solidify their smart contracts, and at the time of this recording, I could be wrong. And if they are, I haven't seen it reflected in my own personal, you know, accounts of what I've seen on CCT or anything else. So assuming they have not completely figured out the smart contract whole thing, I'm skeptical. If not, if they do okay. got it, let's go.
Okay. Now you did. I was going to mention XRP, but you kind of already touched on XRP. So I'm going to skip that one. Avalanche.
I give it a thumbs up. It's a great project. I think that they have a lot of potential. Okay. That token, much like many of them, have reached an all-time high at some point in the last few months. I think that if they continue to build off of their concept and they fill the voids that exist in crypto today, they have a great future ahead of them.
Okay. Chain Games.
It's my favorite. Gaming okay. is the future. Crypto and so Chain Games is trying to accomplish and is currently accomplishing things that have plagued the gaming industry and the gaming world on a peer-to-peer level. And that is, how do I make sure that if I play here without a third party, how does somebody, you know, get their reward for their tournament win, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been, hey, be a decent person and pay. But a lot of people don't. And mm-hmm. when you enter these big tournaments and you spend, you know, $100 to enter, and then at the end of it, three people didn't pay out of the 50, you're stuck with, well, just consider it the taxes, I guess, of gaming.
Interesting.
But now Chain Games doesn't even, they're not the custodian. They just allow the smart contract to do what you do, right? And they've implemented a lot of different ways. And that's I could do a whole show on just Chain Games, as you know.
Yeah, I've definitely heard your opinion on Chain Games, and I personally have not done a lot of research on Chain Games, but this is interesting to me, and I appreciate that. All right, yep. We got two more. Elon's favorite, Dogecoin.
Mm.
Never going away.
You don't think so?
I mean, it's here to stay. I mean, if it survived the joke culture that it was for the longest time, especially when you put someone who I consider a technological hero like Elon, and I'm not saying everybody's got strong opinions about Elon. So if you don't like him, by all means, I respect everybody's opinion. But Elon and his affinity for Doge, more of a joke affinity, but nevertheless, he stood by it. I think it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere, but it's not the coin of the people as many people would like it to be. And you can really tell that the hype has died down significantly.
Okay. And then the final one, the king, Bitcoin.
I thought you had one more.
No, that was five, wasn't it?
I thought at some point.
Well, you're going to do XRP. V-chain. Yeah.
Oh, V-chain. Yeah. Okay, fine. Well,
or VChain.
Go,
VChain.
Yeah, no, oh, yeah, VChain. Yeah. Okay, Bitcoin and then final one, VChain. Yeah.
Let's start with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the king. I personally have strong, strong feelings of it's just beginning. It's rarity. There's only, I think, 18 and a half million have minted of the 21 million. And of that 21 million, 4 million or so are said to be lost forever. And 1 million is literally locked up in Satoshi's wallet. So, you know, there's such a small percentage left to even mine that it's more rare than anybody will ever know at this moment. And it's never really overpriced. And, you know, I know that's hard to understand, but in its existence, it's always good to never buy at once, you know, buy throughout. I mean, sometimes you get burned because you didn't buy enough before it went up. Sometimes you bought too high, but if you're smart and you do the right things, I mean, this is how my personal journey has been, you know, a little bit at a time goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And nobody's complaining from $3,000 to $5,000 when, you know, they couldn't decide if it was a good time to buy. Now it's 40, right? I mean, there was never a bad time to buy before this. Okay. So I feel the same way about it now as I always have, and that it's the king. And to your final one, VChain, I think it's a tremendously solid project who's got its head down, mm-hmm. doing work and actually accomplishing. You know, their whole big picture is really just, you know, supply chain. And mm-hmm. if you look through what we're dealing with and what we might be dealing with in the future, we're going to have some very big supply chain issues. So, you know, as things become more complicated, as more moving parts become, you know, involved, how do you authenticate or know that everything from a purse from Italy is real, all the way down to, you know, getting, where did my shipment of parts go? I mean, like, there's so much on a basic level, just on the basic level. We're not even talking about how
just logistics
extensive
yeah.
it can get. Now, I don't personally own any. I do think that it's worth reading more about and understanding at a higher level. But nevertheless, I would say that it's a positive, I mean, as far as a representative of the blockchain and what they're accomplishing and who's using them too. And I don't want to assume. I remember certain people. Like, I remember BMW had a deal with them for yep. some time, and I don't know if that's still an active contract.
That is, and a lot of the contracts actually with VeChain are the Chinese equivalent, or not equivalent, but the Chinese branches of these companies like BMW, Louis Vuitton. Walmart, all of them are, those that have the VeChain contracts are based out of China right now. Say what you will about China, but that's where sure. they're more based out of right now, is because, you know, VeChain is really accepted. VeChain is the second only, there's only two blockchains that are accepted in China, and VeChain is one of them.
And that goes to show you that it's not going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least from surface level, if I'm outsider looking in, there are moments and factual observations that you can look at along its path and say, hey, it's solid, and at least that they're doing things that are a big deal.
Excellent. And is that term still very popular? Shoot the moon?
To the moon.
To the moon.
Oh, to the moon?
To the moon.
I saw the movie with Diane Keaton. I had no idea what that was about. Yeah.
Hey, that's probably the original source of To the Moon. But
probably.
I have never heard shoot to the moon or shoot the moon.
Yeah.
But I can appreciate the originality of and where everything that I'm talking about has come from.
Yeah.
But yes, to the yes. moon is more of a tongue in cheek kind of, you know,
yeah,
just for fun.
It would be nice.
But I mean, when something's mooning, you already know. I mean, it's mooning.
What is the biggest mistake somebody could make getting into crypto?
I would say that the most common thing I see, there's two, and I they're both as important as each other. Number one, buying too much and expecting to get paid tomorrow. There's no reason to put yourself in a position ever financially, especially when you're as early to the party as I believe I am. If I had $1 million, I would not go put all $1 million into Bitcoin today. I would either diversify into different assets, including other crypto assets, but also some physical assets like real estate. There's just no reason to ever overbuy.
I knew somebody yep. who actually put their house mortgage into Bitcoin at the end of 2017, right before it crashed.
Did they hold on to it?
They sold most of it, but thankfully they're still living in the same house. They were able to figure something out. But I was like, dude, don't do that. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, but anyway, I mean, number two, Joe, sorry.
Last and as important is never give your information to anybody in crypto unless you expect them to be next to you, or the moment you give away your private key, it's no longer private. And that doesn't matter who you gave it to. So, you know, just always be very, very careful with giving your information out, because you will get scammed, and the scammers are everywhere because they know how easy it is to confuse people into believing that they're going to help you.
I've literally told Misa, my wife, about this, because I'm in control of the crypto for our house, and I've put our crypto, like my ledger is in a bank vault, and the, you know, private keys are stored somewhere else. And I've told her everywhere this stuff is. And I said, if something ever happens to me, you don't trust anybody with this information unless you are sitting right next to them.
Absolutely.
And you don't give them this information. You set them down and say, log me in to this and I will type in the password. Don't ever give this to anybody.
Exactly right. And that's the best really analogy you could use for that last statement of mine. And that is, make sure that you do it yourself.
Yep.
Joe, I got to tell you, always great to have you on. Let's not wait a whole year though. Maybe, you know, we'll talk to you mid-year and see how things
for
are
sure.
going. Definitely.
Well, and I felt bad because Justin did invite me. I don't know how long ago it was, a few months ago maybe. And I don't know if I said yes originally and I couldn't, or if it was just last minute. That's what
I think
it was.
You
it was
were
just,
getting into your own podcast show, and I think you were just busy doing that.
No, just recently. It wasn't that long ago. It was just a few months ago, and it was just like that evening.
That's what it was. Yep, that's what it was. It was just last minute.
Speaking of, I've always got time for you guys.
I appreciate that.
You're my favorite show that I get to go on, and I've been on several, and I to this minute you were my first ever to bring me on, and then secondly it's always been a great experience, and you guys are just genuine human beings. And Sean, it was such a pleasure to get to meet you, and I know we didn't get to communicate as much.
No, you know, it was very educational for me. I'm probably the one that knows the least about crypto, so it was
he's
very
you're taking
for
notes
me.
This whole time.
Yeah, he's right down.
I have been paying attention, so I actually already did my $10 in Ethereum this week. So it's been very educational, and I hope our listeners can get some of that education as well. So
if I can say one last thing, and folks, you know, I'm very, very bullish on crypto, Bitcoin and Ethereum, especially. Mm-hmm. Those are the two most proven cryptocurrencies and blockchains. Everything's speculation. There's no promises. I have high hopes for both Bitcoin and Ethereum, but that goes along with all the other coins that I like, you know, but nobody knows for sure. And, you know, we can all do our best to guess, but the only thing I can see is that it's always gone up, and that's why I maintain my permabull status.
Now, if our listeners want to follow you, you mentioned the podcast you were doing. How can they do that? What's the best way?
Well, I backed off any, it's been a great last couple of years, especially, and I want to make this very clear. It hasn't been like I can just retire and do nothing for the rest of my life, but I've only gone back to Facebook. In fact, the website it's not even up anymore. So we've pulled back, and we've just, you know, wanted to just maintain the original concept of what we're doing. And that is, you know, educate and provide a social environment for people to kind of have, you know, barroom talk, and at the same time, you know, be serious. And so Crypto Coin Trader is the Facebook group. You can look us up on there. Follow me personally at Seriously as Joe on Twitter, but I'm really a Facebook guy. So best thing to do is come join the group.
Once again, awesome. Joe Blackburn, thank you again for joining us. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So we've talked about to the moon in cryptocurrency all day. And everybody knows I know the least amount about it in this group. So to the moon means a little bit different to me than it does to most of you, because I've been following the launch of the Webb Telescope, the James Webb Telescope, which is an extraordinary moment in human space history, right? It's just, as soon as it gets to where it's going, it's going to be amazing. And what I like about it is you can track it every step of the way. You can see where it is. You can see how fast it's going. You can see how hot it is. You can see its current state. Can't see pictures of it or anything, but if you go to web.nasa.gov, you can get all the information you want to know about James Webb, where it is, what state of its deployment. It's awesome. It's going to be really, really far out there.
That's so cool.
Now, Sean, what makes, for those that maybe don't follow what they're doing, and because it's not a, you know, a manned launch with William Shatner or Michael Strahan going up into space, why is this such an important event in space?
It's just, it's the way it captures light, and the type of light it can capture is going to give a new perspective on space.
That's going to be so cool. Let
us see things that the Hubble could only dream of seeing, right?
When can we see that? When is it going to be done? Or when is it going to get into its final position?
I know they opened a mirror last week, so I know that was
kind of funny. So you have to go, where's Webb? It is currently in day 17. So the primary mirror has been extended. It's fully deployed, as they're calling it. So now it's just kind of traveling, right? So it's got, I can't do math. It's got 11 or 12 more days until it's actually in where it's going to be, which is called the L2, which is called the second Lagrange point, at which point it will enter a large orbit around that point, and for the following 5 months will be used to cool the telescope to operating temperature, because it's got to be the amount of light it's captured. If I remember this correctly, the amount of light it's going to capture, it has to be cold to do the work properly. So they have to keep it super cool to do the work. Wow. So that's why if you look at the top, if you're at the web.nasa.gov site, it's got a hot side and a cold side. And
oh my gosh. Yeah, the hot side is 130 Fahrenheit. The cold side is negative 306 Fahrenheit on the cold side.
That's like driving from Phoenix to Salt Lake City. No. Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've been following it. I watched the launch. I've kind of been keeping track of their updates. But this website is just a great resource. If you're curious, if you know nothing about the Webb telescope, you can compare it to the Hubble. Because, I mean, outside of your just basic astronomer, your amateur astronomer telescope, what's the next telescope you can think of? The Hubble, right?
Yeah, very cool stuff.
It's been in the media. So check it out, web.nasa.gov. It's great.
All right. Well, that wraps up this week's Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, and once again, thank you so much for Joe Blackburn to be on the show. Guys, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.